Hey, greetings everybody, it's Brother Two Post, don'tperish.com, John 424 Radio. Hey, we just rolled into a new town, got our camp spot all set up, and I want to bring to you my verse-by-verse teaching from Titus 2. Last time we left off at verse 5, today we're going to do verses 6 through 10. Go to don'tperish.com, look for the verse-by-verse tab. You can get caught up on all the verse-by-verse teachings. We're working through Titus, and you can see all the other ones there. Let's get started. Titus 2, starting with verse 6. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. So Paul has already covered for us in this small little epistle how older men are supposed to be leaders in the body. Then he covered older ladies. Then he covered younger ladies. And here he's switching to make it complete, right? Can't leave out the younger men, right? So likewise, young men, to exhort to be sober-minded. Sober-minded, that word in Greek is sophronio. It means to be of sound mind, to be of one's right mind, to exercise self-control, to put a moderate estimate upon oneself, think of oneself soberly, to curb one's passions. So pretty self-explanatory. It has really nothing to do with drinking of alcohol or drunkenness. It has more to do with walking in your own ways, your countenance, like we talked about in the last Bible study, and curbing your passions. Walking in the spirit, not the flesh, would be a good way to put it as well, right? So this is the exact opposite of what we see today in youth groups, these church youth groups. What do we see? We see them drawing the youth. First of all, they separate out the youth, which is unbiblical. They should be with the adults and learn how to be adults. But they draw them out. They do silly, fleshly, foolish games, partaking in carnality, pride, oftentimes sports and rowdiness. Paul admonishes all this and tells them to be in self-control. A young person is supposed to be like an older person. Yeah. I went through this not long ago. We were united to a family, and they had small children, and the child was acting really rowdy, yelling, running around the house while we're trying to Bible study. And when I brought it to the man's attention, he had the comment, children will be children. Well, thankfully, he repented of that mindset, and he made the correction, because he realized, I showed him what God's word says, children are not supposed to be bratty children or out of control children or fleshly children. Paul's telling us what children and young people should be. The Bible tells you, spare the rod, spoil the child. And in this case, he's talking about young men. What could that be? Young men could be starting at what? Age 7 or 8? Yeah. All the way up to teenage and then young adults. So it's the opposite of what we see going on today. What does the Holy Spirit bring us? Inner calm and joy. The Greek word is kara. Inner calm and cheer, not fleshly, rowdy ways that we see all over man-made churchianity. Paul says, don't be that way. Verse 7, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. All right, so just like 2 Corinthians 5:17, where Paul talks about the new birth and he says all things become new, Paul says here all things should be of what? Good works. Right? In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Do you ever notice a lot of people don't really have their Christian faith covered in all things in their life? It's like a Sunday service, and they offer God their best on Sunday, and then they live their own life, their own hobbies, their own ways, their own careers, their own style, their own fashion, their own pride and vanity, their own traditions. It's like they have two different boxes in their life. Here's God's box, and here's my life. I get to live any way I want. That's not what it says here. It says all things. So we don't have time to be about our own ways, our own passions, our hobbies, our pursuits, as I said. In all things, we're to show good works. What is that? That's godly works. Not fleshly, not carnal, not false. Good, godly, pure, true. Far too many are about their own ways, as I said, and they leave out scripture that tells us to be of God and godly and holy in all our ways. We're supposed to be servants, doulos. That means we desire to serve our master and not our own ways. I love that. Paul again mentions doctrine, right? Teaching and instruction. This is a theme all throughout Titus, all throughout the New Testament word. Doctrine, showing uncorruptness, purity, and soundness. So he talks about showing thyself a good pattern of works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, right? Purity, uncorruptness is purity and soundness. Obviously, doctrine means instruction, so you're in the truth, right? That which is incorruptible, the things of God, eternal things. 1 Corinthians 9:25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things, how they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. So we're to be about the incorruptible things of the kingdom of God. Amen? We're not supposed to be about things that are corruptible. The opposite of what is corruptible or incorruptible would be things of the flesh versus the things that are incorruptible are of the word. They're going to perish. They're going to fade away. The corruptible, they vanish like a vapor like we are, right? But the things that are incorruptible, we're supposed to long for those, cling to those, walk in those, live that way. What Paul is saying is young men are to be about God's kingdom, not of this world, of the spirit, not of their flesh. So much for the idea that, you know, kids will get serious about the faith later, youth will get serious about the faith later. No, Paul's calling them to it right now. I love that. Yeah, he calls the youth right to it. And as I told this man, his boy was like, I don't even know how old he was, 4 or 5 maybe. Train him now and you'll go a long way. When he's 12, he's going to be like a little man. Leave him in his flesh and leave him in carnality. He's going to be uncontrollable at age 12. Yeah. Then Paul goes on and he talks about gravity. Gravity. This is characteristic of a thing or a person. It entitles to reverence, respect, dignity, majesty, sanctity, honor, purity again. All right? So the youth should be respectable in reverence and in purity. You know, I got to say it again. Few people take this to heart at all. They allow the youth to live worldly, carnal, rambunctious. Best behavior on Sunday morning when they're in youth club, but they still act goofy and silly in youth club. But then they get out of church and they go and do sports clubs and their hobbies and they're watching TV and Netflix and video games. I'm talking about the worldly churchianity here. Paul gives no such separation of a true saint, even if they're a young person. They're it to be grave, gravity in all things, right? Purity, honor, sanctity, dignity. Finally, Paul says sincerity. That means genuine. What do we think of the word genuine? When you think of the word genuine, what do you think about? Genuine means someone who's real, right? Isn't that what that means? To be genuine is to be real. Yeah, genuine means real. And again, when you go back to that word, it also means incorruptible. So all these words are kind of interlaced together. These are amazing traits that Paul is calling for young people, young man. And since we're all supposed to be examples, 1 Peter 5, right? Not only the leaders, but everyone. It's really a call on all of us. You see these traits all are interchangeable between older men, older women, younger men. We're all supposed to be holy, godly, obedient, set apart saints, aren't we? Yeah, we are. And when you see Paul's list of what they're supposed to be, it's pretty consistent to what I preach, because I preach the Word of God. That's all I preach. I don't have any truth. I just preach the Word of God. It's pretty consistent to what the Bible calls God's people to. But you know what's amazing? People in the streets and then people in churchianity and religious people, they will tell me, you're too hard, you're too harsh, you're too legalistic. You're expecting too much. When these are the words of Paul, Holy Spirit inspired, telling young people how they should live in purity, uncorruptibleness, holiness, walking sound in the faith, sound in the doctrine, doing this in all things. Yeah, that's the holy word of God. I love that. Verse 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. All right. So Paul goes back to sound speech. This is like a echoing resonance all through this letter and really all of his writings. This is speaking truth and sound doctrine of God. In this verse, we see the warning to avoid any talk outside of this way that Paul calls for. 1 Timothy 1, 4 through 6. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in the faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of a faith unfeigned, from which some have swerved and have turned aside unto vain jangling. That means vain talk, useless talk. Yeah, so Paul is giving the admonition to the young people, and we see it's also a good admonition to us by talking about God's truth, God's doctrine, God's kingdom, good, pure, true things. Philippians 4:8, as we've talked about before, we can be blameless before others that would look to accuse us, right? We can be blameless. What happens if we live worldly, carnal, sinful, compromised? We give them all kinds of ammunition against us. But what if we live blameless, spotless, holy? Wow. Now they have nothing against us. They can lie. Oh, yeah. But that's on them. That's not on us. We can be blameless before God. Go look up scripture verses on blameless. We're called to be blameless. Paul also says that he that is contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to speak of you. I just kind of mentioned that. Anybody who opposes us should have nothing to accuse us about against the word of God. You realize that? We're not supposed to live in sin. We're not supposed to live in worldliness or carnality. Unlike the worldly, corrupt, fleshly, churchianity pastors and the modern internet teachers today, they have reputations that are about like crooked car salesmen or greedy lawyers. Yeah, they do. Because they're about money, they're about corruption, they're about popularity. It's not supposed to be so of God's true people, so we can walk blameless, spotless, and in purity. Now, as I said, they're going to lie about us. They did about our master, but we don't want to give them ammunition. That's really the main point of this verse here. Paul is saying, live in a way that you don't give the enemies ammunition against us. So when we're in sound doctrine, and our talk and our walk and our manner of life is pure and biblical and incorruptible, what evil can they say about us? Short of lying, I get it. They can lie anytime. But when it's the truth, yeah, that's pretty awesome, isn't it? When you live in that way, that's how Christ was. He lived in that way. That's how Paul was. They lived in that way, and people had to lie about them because they had nothing on them. As we learned about in Titus 1, the chapter on elders, leaders have to be above reproach so the gospel's not maligned. That's how we should be living. Just because the leaders have to do it doesn't mean we, all of us other people, whether you're an elder, street preacher, teacher, whoever, we should all be walking in those ways, shouldn't we? We should. Our witness should be protected at all costs because it's God's glory. And all we have to do in this life is to live in sound doctrine, in holiness, to fear God, to obey his commandments, as it says in Ecclesiastes. This is the full duty of man, to fear God and obey his commandments and walk in these ways, and we'll be pleasing unto God. But most people don't want to walk in the truth. Why? There's a great cost. You got to lose your flesh. You got to come out of the culture. You're going to lose family. You're going to lose friends. You're going to lose your career. You're going to lose your reputation. You're going to lose your religious body. Going to lose your pride, your vanity. Oh, I got to dress different. I got to live different. Yeah, that's the cost to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Absolutely. Now you say, well, nobody can live that way, Brother Tupos. You're being legalistic. It's unrealistic. Really? Luke 1:6. Let me tell you about John the Baptist's parents. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Yeah, you go give Luke 1:6 to all these people to tell you, you can't live righteous. You can't have righteousness of your own. Yeah, we need Christ's perfect righteousness. I get it. I teach it all over. But we can live righteous because of what he's done in us. Next time people tell you that, go have them explain to you how Luke 1:6, that John the Baptist's parents were walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they were both righteous before him. we can live and walk in righteousness. This is what Paul's talking about in Titus 2 here for the older ladies, younger ladies, and for the young men as well. We can definitely be blameless. Let me encourage you in that, saints. Verse 9, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. All right, so exhort servants. This is an encouraging, exhort would be encourage, to those who are servants, doulos, they're serving the needs of a master. All right, now back then it could have been literal servants, could have been slaves. Today it could be hired workers, bond slaves. You know, if you decide to go to work for somebody and you work 8 to 5 for a certain amount an hour to do a certain job, you're a bond slave. If you're a helper in a house and you're agreeing to do it for room and board, you're a bond slave. You can quit and leave anytime you want, but you're a bond slave there to do it. So I think that's what that could encompass. And Paul is calling them to obey them, not to disobey and be rebellious. We don't obey them in sin, of course. We would disobey any man if he tells us to sin, because God comes before any man. But we're supposed to obey those that are over us. That would be a master, that would be a boss, that would be a parent, that would be an elder. 1 Peter 2:13, this would be also for the government. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. So Peter says, submit yourself. So we're doing it for God. You don't worry about your pride. Don't worry, you know, all these patriots. Nobody wants to submit. Everybody wants to rebel and fight and battle. That's how America was formed. America went to war killing over death and taxes. They went to war killing people, causing the death of many over taxes. A 2 or 3% tax. It doesn't sound like something Jesus would do, does it? No, it wouldn't. He wouldn't. America was a corrupt, unbiblical nation from the get-go. So we're supposed to submit to our masters, submit to elders, submit to the government, submit to parents. Jesus even talked about doing good to our enemies, not necessarily submitting, Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So all these people we should be doing good unto, okay? That's a very important thing. Not looking to fight against them, not looking to cause trouble, not looking to be rebellious. And what do we see here? We see a pattern. We're supposed to walk the walk, talk the talk, and do good to all, right? That's pretty clear in the Bible. I get it. We expose false teachers. We rebuke people when need be. Yeah, we don't lay that all down. Of course not. But we are supposed to live in a certain way. That's what Paul is trying to emphasize here. That's glorifying to God, that allows the Word and the Spirit to live through us, that allows us to be a good witness, that allows us to live blame-free, hopefully incident-free. Let me give you a quick example. When I'm out street preaching, if I'm troublesome and I'm aggressive and I'm bordering on breaking the law, I will have the police all over me. Yeah, but guess what? If I'm peaceful, if I'm standing on the law, if I'm keeping the law and I'm respectful, 99% of the police officers respect me. They'll actually help me. They'll tell people, leave him alone, he's legal. So by having a good reputation, they can run my name and see I've never been arrested. Wow, this guy's been doing this for years and he's never been arrested. He must not look for trouble. That's the whole point. That's what Paul's talking about here. That's the pattern he's looking for. The nature of God's people is shown in our ways, not just in our words. Praise the Lord, I love Jesus. We hear people say all the time as they're living worldly, carnal, and false doctrines and pride and vanity and rebellious ways. That's lip service Christianity. That's not biblical Christianity. Whatever's in your heart is always going to live out in your mouth and your life. Jesus said so. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth does speak. Our master said that very clear. So that's something for us all to ponder. How are we living? Do we line up to this thing for these instructions for the older ladies, younger ladies, and now for the young men, as well as for the older men? Verse 10, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Not purloining. You don't hear that word too much anymore. I've heard it before, purloined. They got purloined. It means to set apart, separate, divide, to set apart, separate for oneself, to purloin, to embezzle withdraw covertly, to appropriate to one's own use. I guess it could mean steal, too. I've heard that. They purloined that for themselves. This is the act of doing things for yourself, basically. Again, some would say stealing or taking. Our lives shouldn't be about taking for ourselves. Our lives should be giving. Giving to the Lord, giving to the brethren, giving to our neighbors. That's what our lives should be about, not purloining and taking. Anything that we take should be time to serve God, know God, study His Word, time to serve others. That's what we should purloin, not do like the modern pastors and the modern evangelists today. They purloin all kinds of things, time, money, fame, popularity. That shouldn't be so of God's people. And then he says, show good fidelity. This is a conviction of the truth. Once again, the truth comes up. Have you seen this pattern? Truth, doctrine, sound, truth, doctrine, over and over and over. It's amazing to me. People read the Bible and they don't get that doctrine is important. It's almost like going to law school and all these books you're reading and all these laws you got to know. And then somebody comes out and goes, do I really have to focus on the law? It's almost the same way. They've been so drunk on easy believism and cheap grace and raise your hand, say a prayer, get dipped in water. You're going to heaven no matter what. You can't lose your salvation. Satan has his clutches so deep in these people in the churchianity systems that they're void of the truth about God's word is about truth and sound doctrine. It's all over. I like that. Conviction of truth. That's what fidelity is. Without truth, you can't walk in God's ways and you can't claim to have His word or life. 1 John 3:19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. We got to know we're of the truth. Christ is the truth. The word is the truth. The spirit is the spirit of truth. Amen? Don't ever separate truth from your faith, saints, seekers, if you're listening. Truth must always come with it. It's a complete package. You can't even follow Christ if you don't have the truth. And the next part he says, adorn. He says, adorn the doctrine of God. Adorn. You ladies will know this word. To decorate, embellish, prepare to show off. So let's get this straight. This is the one case where adorning is good. We're not supposed to adorn our clothing. We're supposed to be plain. 1 Peter 3 tells us that for the ladies, and it would apply for the men. We're supposed to be plain and unassuming and not have pride and vanity in our clothing. We are to live in a manner that we're showing off, adorning the doctrines of God. This is the truth and instructions of God in all things. Yeah, we're to be showing these things off, right? And Sister Amon and I made a video, audio today for her sister's section. And we talked a little bit about this, about showing off your good works before men. Now, praying we do in secret, giving we do in secret, Jesus said, both those things. But he said, let your good works be seen before men. That means preaching, witnessing, sharing the gospel, caring for others. Anything that glorifies God that's not praying and directly giving of alms, money, food, things like that. We don't show that stuff off. We're supposed to let that light be seen. Ready? Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Yeah, we're supposed to live out the doctrines of God in all the goodness and all His truth. And this is what Paul is calling us to do. Paul is calling us, the young and the old, male and female, to adorn ourselves with the doctrines of God, His truth, His glory, His word. When people see our lives, when they think about us, when they read our websites, our Facebook, when they hear us talk, hear us preach, they shouldn't be thinking, wow, that guy looks great in that fancy tunic or that fancy shirt or that fancy pants or that fancy dress or that makeup and that jewelry. No, that's not how we adorn ourselves. And they shouldn't be saying, wow, such fair speech. He really practices his speech and so elegant with his words and he's charismatic. No, not with fine fair speech and fine words do we reach people. No, we're to be adorning ourselves with the doctrines of God. That's what we need. That's what's eternal. What do you want to adorn yourself with? A pretty sweater or the eternal doctrines of God that will live forever? That sweater is going to be powder and dust. You want to adorn yourself with a good reputation among the world that's going to be judged and sent into weeping and gnashing of teeth? Or do you want to adorn yourself with the doctrines of God and be a servant in His house, be a pillar in His house one day, as Revelation says? Which one do you want to be? Something to consider, isn't it? We're supposed to adorn and live out the doctrines of God for his glory. He deserves it. He bought us with a price, his shed blood. We are supposed to be serving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and our strength. Matthew 22 tells us that. So when we live in a sinful world and we live in an unbiblical way, we're defaming God. But when we live out his doctrines in spirit and truth, what are we doing? We're adorning. I love that. We're adorning God and his truth and his word. That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be his glory, right? We're the glory. God created us for his glory. Did you know that? You're supposed to be working for the glory of God. That's what he created humans for. Paul is calling us to be upright, godly, biblical citizens of heaven in all things we do, young and old, men and women, so no one can speak ill of us. And we glorify, we adorn God in the process. Again, that's your purpose, glorifying God. Titus, this little book, is showing us that, and it really is quite a lesson in doctrine, in truth, in the manner of how we live. I love that. We're going to stop right there. We're going to pick up next time, Titus 2, and we're going to start at what? Verse 11 next time. Hope you're enjoying this walk through Titus. We'll finish Titus 2 next time, and then we'll keep going in the holy, eternal Word of God. Let us lift up Christ our King, proclaim his truth, proclaim his doctrines. Not only proclaim them, let us live it with every ounce of our being, calling to our lost neighbors. It is their only hope. Hey, I love you all. Check out don'tperish.com. Check out the gospel. Make sure you're walking in the things of God today. Make sure you're born of him. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. Till next time, I get to come to you again with more truth. We love you all. May God be praised.